All right, so now, this is, are you ready, Nathan?
No.
Now you're ready? Okay. So this is a regular, is this regular?
Yes, it is.
Zoning Planning Committee, and we have here the beginning of the meeting. Councilor Gusell Glazer from Ward 3, Councilor Downs from Ward 5, Councilor Kalis from Ward 8, Councilor Danberg from Ward 6, the Vice Chair of the Committee, Councilor Baker from Ward 7, myself, Susan Albright from Ward 2, and we have some staff here. We have our committee clerk, Nathan Giacalone. And we have Mr. Heath, who's the Director of Planning and Development, and we have Zach Lamel. Okay, is that how, did I say it right?
That works.
Is it Zachary or Zach? What do you prefer?
Zach works.
Okay, from also from senior senior long range planning?
Chief of long range.
Chief of long range, okay. I'll get it. His name is Chief. Ooh.
And our Deputy Director, Jennifer Carter, will be joining us.
Okay, and we have the planning board here. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Peter Doringer, Chair of the Planning Board. On my left is Kevin McCormick. On my right is Kelly Brown. Jennifer Malinsky. And Barbara Heath is here as a physio of the planning board.
Okay, so our first two items are appointments. Item 358-19, Your Honor the Mayor, appointing Martin Smart Jassy. Did I do all right with that?
Yeah.
Come and join us at the table. I'm going to read the rest of this. 20 Fern Street, Auburndale, is a member of the Community Preservation Committee for a term to expire July 10, 2022. This meeting tonight was all about Community Preservation Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So what we usually do is ask you to tell us why you'd like to be a member of this committee.
Sure. For people that don't know me, I'm Martin Alexander Smart Jassy. Sorry about my voice tonight. I've been sick for about 2 days, so bear with me. A little background. Some people may know I'm a planner, an architect, a builder, and a real estate developer. I currently live in Auburndale, and I'm on the Historic District Commission, as you guys said. My children go to Newton Schools, and Barney Heath and Jonathan and Ruth Ann Fuller thought I'd be a good fit for the CPC. I've attended a couple of these meetings already and gotten a good feel for the commission and how it operates. And I'm invested in Newton, both personally and in business. And I support endeavors that are, you know, enhance the built environment, the community, and people that, you know, serve that, you know, through thoughtful planning and design. So those are some reasons.
Does anybody, Councilor Downs?
I have a couple of questions. The Community Preservation Committee is one of my favorites, and I think you'll enjoy it. My question is whether you're in any relation to Steve Estes Smargiassi.
He's my uncle.
He is, okay. That was my question.
That was it?
I work with him at the MWRA.
Oh, okay. And, so. Jonathan, I did as well.
Exactly.
Councilor Kalis?
Is there any area within the CPC that you're most focused on? It sounds like it's development, but affordable housing or?
So my background has been with historic buildings, including those with the National Park Service, and I've worked for that in a couple different states, and I'm the historic district here as mm-hmm. well. So I as an architect, I've worked in historic and as a builder, so I have a historic is, you know, really in my court. Some urban redevelopment, I've been involved in that as well, and a little bit with low-income housing.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Councilor Danberg?
I just want to reiterate my thanks to you for being willing to serve. I can see that you have many talents that we can use on this committee, and prior to your being officially accepted onto the board, I'd like to again thank you for being willing to serve and for offering up your talents.
Anybody else? Councilor Prinzmann is in finance,
yeah.
So if someone would like to make the motion.
And I'll be happy to make a motion to approve.
So motion to approve, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. So this will be taken up by the full council on Monday. You do not need to come to that. And then we look forward to working with you. We have a very special relationship with the Community Preservation Committee. It's really the your committee and our committee work together.
That's
so
true.
And a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see you a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And 398-19, Her Honor the Mayor appointing Vista Sayan. How'd I do for that? If you could come join us. You can tell me how it's supposed to be. 7 Marcellus Drive, Newton Center, as a member of the Urban Design Commission for a term to expire on December 31, 2022. How did I do on your name?
Very good.
Okay.
Pleasure to be here. I'm an architect of 30 years, and I also do real estate in the city of Newton. I work in the city of Newton. I moved to Newton mainly because of my son. I wanted him to benefit from the public schools. So I moved here in 2007. And every day I deal with families, trying to find homes, try to place them. So I'm very aware of the housing situation in Newton. As an architect, obviously I have interest in the built environment in Newton. I always wanted to get involved in the city, but Mayor Fuller made it much easier to approach the City Hall. So I approached them and I told them, you know, I'm more than interested to help my city because of everything that's going on around the city. I was very much interested. I have attended several meetings, and it seems like I can have a positive role in the committee.
My memory is the Urban Design Commission is the body that deals with fence permits, except within historic districts.
They actually deal with a bit more. They deal with signage, and the committee is very keen on appropriate signage design and the ordinances that has to be followed. The fence they deal with is if the fence goes for an appeal. If there are fences that are not in accordance with the ordinances, so they deal with that. But at the same time, they will with a little bit more, as I understand. Building heights, they can make some recommendations for the new designs. So with so much development that's happening around the city of Newton, they're going to have a bigger role.
Well, I appreciate all of those, and I just want to say that I think that the fence piece is an important part of it because we have a fence ordinance that basically tries to limit boundary fences that are fronting on the street to 4 feet. And I was going down Homer Street and somebody's putting up a fence on top of a wall that's clearly more than 4 feet.
I've been calling ISD for weeks about one in my neighborhood.
Really? And I'm just curious. I mean, that's the kind of thing that will come, we hope, to you for approval in advance rather than an enforcement after the fact.
Is that going up now?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really very high.
You take a look as you drive down Homer Street.
Apparently, most people don't understand that they have to get a fence permit to put up a fence. And a lot of fence installers are not letting them know that they need a permit. Mm. So that's causing a lot of issues.
Well said.
Yeah. And I think this is one of those things where I hope not your responsibility alone, but I think the process of educating the contractors is really important.
Yeah.
And not just saying, well, gee, you know, we have a lot of professionals who should know better but aren't claiming.
Similar to the leaf blower law, it needs to be out to the contractors every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's happening is that a lot of people, especially after the big storm, they thought that they put back the fence, and some of these fences are pretty long. So it's becoming a big financial burden to the homeowners who actually thought they're doing a good thing of putting back the fence up, and now they're finding out that they have to take it down.
Well,
so it's a big challenge.
So you still want to serve?
All right. Well, urban design, your commission has been really helpful because when we do a special permit, we don't typically deal with design. So the Urban Design Commission has been taking a very strong role in these larger projects, starting with Austin Street and Washington Place and Northland, and so it's really been very helpful to the council.
That's what I'm hoping I get more involved.
Yeah.
Just delighted to have another architect on that committee.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's my pleasure to serve.
Pardon?
It's my pleasure to serve my city.
Thank you. Yes.
I'll move approval.
Okay. So Councillor Kalis has moved approval. All in favor?
Thank you.
That is all of us. And again, this will be taken up on this coming Monday by the full council, and you don't need to come.
Thank you. I wanted my son to be here to understand the working of the city hall.
I had a big long night of it.
he's at Brown. He just started middle school, so
oh, good.
It's big.
Excellent. Well, come and join us anytime.
Thank you.
I told him you may someday decide to be a mayor.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, and we've also good. Been joined by Jen Cairo, who is the deputy director of planning and development. Okay. And one more appointment, it's a reappointment. 397-19, Her Honor the Mayor, reappointing Michael Kaufman, 24, Turner Terrace, Newtonville, as a member of the Urban Design Commission for a term to expire December 31, 2022. And he is in my ward, so someone else could make that motion.
I'll make that motion.
I'll move approval.
All right. Councilor Danborg moves approval. All in favor? That's all of us. Nathan? Okay. We're doing a garage ordinance issue now. Okay. 327-19, Councilor Albright requesting that Chapter 30 of Newton's zoning ordinance be amended to repeal Section 3.4.4, garages, effective December 31st, 2019, after after reading the planning memo. Mm. Garages will be discussed during zoning redesign next term. Is somebody making a presentation?
Okay. There we go. Hi, thank you. So we're looking at the garage ordinance first. So a little bit of background. As you said, this was adopted by the City Council in June 2016. The intent was to address the snout houses, so where the garage is pushed forward and the garage is dominating the facade of the home. After it went into effect, there was a number of concerns raised, residents, design professionals. We saw some unintended consequences of the ordinance as well. There may have been some, you know, incentives for larger homes, have a larger, to be able to meet the percentage for the garage. It was then deferred starting in, I believe, October 2016, and then again, December of that year, March of the next year, March of 2018, and then last December. It's currently deferred until December 31st of this year. The intent at this time, and our recommendation, is to repeal the ordinance rather than a further deferment, as we plan on addressing this as part of zoning redesign. So the idea is that we'll take a holistic look at the garages as part of the general form of homes under zoning redesign. We'll take the intent of this ordinance and the goals of it, and then try and figure out the best way to accomplish those under the new form-based code. So we intend to still take this up just as part of zoning redesign.
Can I ask? Well,
I just want to say that I took a trip down memory lane and because my email at the time was full of stuff about this particular ordinance. And the thing that I remembered, painfully remembered, was that the chair at the time proposed amendments and then when we got into committee decided not to vote for them.
Right.
So we had a tie vote. I made the motion to approve, and it was 3-3, so the motion failed to carry. And that has led to all of these postponements over the year. It was a painful time for all of us, I think. Mm. So I just wanted to remind people of that.
I was an observer.
So Councilor Kalis and then Councilor Baker.
So, the only thing I wanted to ask is if we could defer again, somehow prioritize this. Because it is something that was very important, remains important, and I just fear that, encapsulating it within zoning reform, it just might get lost or might be delayed because that might take many years, and whether this can be prioritized as high priority, but within the form-based code that you're working, but maybe this is one thing that we take up first, something like that. I don't want to see it lost.
Councilor Baker?
I have the same concern. I think that we had, in the conversations in committee, really ample evidence that there were design features in the city that really shouldn't go on. And no disrespect to the idea of wrapping it into the other, but I'm sympathetic to that objective. I'd rather defer, if we have that option, and see if we can get something that our existing zoning will work with, because it'll take a while to get there. And this is a, this I think there was broad agreement that something should be done. The question was exactly what it was. We weren't quite clear, but I'd hate to have, you know, because that whole other process is going to take some time. And it may be absorbed by that, and that would be okay, that's fine, but I would rather, I'd rather have some way of bringing this up rather than wait for that. So I don't know if it's appropriate if you've, to move up that we defer it again, but as opposed to repeal it. That's my question, procedurally.
So I think that we should, my own feeling is that we should repeal it, because we've deferred it so many times. I guess it's 4 or 5 times now.
Yeah.
And but I wanted to say that at our last planning meeting, there were a couple of things that I brought, we talked about as imminent, that needed to be dealt with imminently. And one of them was the tear-down problem.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was, and this is my personal favorite, is the single-family attached homes, which every time one of them pops up, the neighborhood crashes around it. And we could add this one to that and see if we could ask the planning department to come up with some fixes for these three things now. While
near term.
In the near term,
yeah.
While we're working on the larger problems.
I would find that congenial myself. I mean, I, no disrespect to your objective, but this has been out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Councilor Danberg?
I agree with that. I would very much like to see those three things, specifically this item, the garage item, worked on independently and before we would have to, before we vote on the entire zoning reform package. If you drive by the corner of Beacon and Chestnut Street, all of those houses there that all have the big garages on the front as the primary architectural feature of the house, and they all fail what we call the trick-or-treat test, because a 10-year-old couldn't figure out, standing in front of the house, how to go into the house to go trick-or-treating. I think that's not, we need to send a message that that is not the type of look that we want this city to have, in spite of the fact that developers continue to build it, because they like building it, and maybe they've built other ones and they've got the plans already, so and people are buying it. So I really would like, before we have too much of our Newton streetscape turn into the Snout House look, to see if we can shut this down.
I have a question just as an amendment to the docket item. Can you just amend it, just say the garages will be discussed early next term, rather than during zoning redesign?
That's fine.
Would that be all right?
That's fine.
And report it that way?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm amenable.
Everybody amenable to that?
I am.
Oh.
Yes.
Just a question, because the planning board had a similar kind of discussion.
Yeah.
And, you know, one point of view was these deferrals are kind of silly, they've gone on too long, and let's just clean the slate. Another perspective was that this was a useful marker, and it kept it visible in ways that it would not be visible
right.
for the human minds if it were repealed. And so we wanted to hear this discussion, I think essentially to say, do we vote to repeal or not? This compromise that's coming up, you know, suggests prioritizing it. On the other hand, one concern is that even if we prioritize it, who knows what's going to push it back and back and back in time. So maybe there's some advantage to doing a short deferral until the priority takes over.
We've
been thinking about this, and
we're
just kind of, some of us aren't happy with the absolute other appeal.
Yeah, I understand that, but it leaves everybody in the building trades and the architectural companies in limbo. They don't know how to deal with it, what to do about it. And it was, it was actually somebody from the building trades that brought this to my attention, that it was about to go into effect. And we all forgot about it.
But you could extend it again.
We could extend it again. So we're having another planning meeting next week, and we're going to look at the next 6 months, and we can factor this into the next 6 months. I think that you, because the problem is that we have to deal with Washington Street before we deal with zoning redesign. So if we leave it for zoning redesign, it would even get pushed out further. So if we can factor these three things into the next 6 months, I think everybody would feel better.
So just to be clear, does that argue for repeal or extension?
I think it argues for repeal because I think it was faultily created, if that's a word. It was created in a difficult fashion. Some of the amendments, there were amendments that were made to it, and it would be better just to rethink it, I think.
I think I'm going to vote for deferral, if that's a vote, or simply because I just don't know. I trust you. I believe you. I don't know if you're going to be in that chair.
No, but you'll be. I assume you'll be.
And that's the thing. So I just want to make sure that whoever's in these chairs, it comes up.
Well, it's not just me. How do others feel?
I guess I'd like the deferral at least makes it clear that we, and I'm hearing from the planning board some sentiment in that direction. That's why I'm wondering about this. I would rather put defer to April 1st. That gives 3 months to look at this and then bring it back.
What are you thinking? How much time?
I think we need longer. Otherwise, we may end up just needing to vote again to defer. We need to. I think we can certainly prioritize this with the other items, but we also need to think about it in a different way, because the intent is not that the language that was adopted goes into effect at any point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The intent is we have to rethink how we approach this, and now we also have to think about how it fits into the direction we're going with the form-based code. So the way we're going is approaching the built form of homes in a very different way than we do today. So we need to think about how this fits into that, but also works in our current zoning. So I think there are some challenges. I think we just need to make sure we have the time to think it through while also prioritizing it.
I guess my concern, though, is that the form-based code is not something that I think we've all bought into. I mean, I haven't. And so I don't want to tie this. We've got a number of things we've got to deal with sooner under our existing zoning, and I don't want to be in a situation where we're always waiting for reworking. If we pass something that has, or have amend this item, because we could have defer it and then move an amendment, as I understand, right? The process matter. If we wanted to do anything to it. The problem is if you do it, undo it, then you've got to get 16 votes to do it again. Mm-hmm. And that's I'm just troubled that this has been an outstanding problem for a long time. And the form-based code may not be, I don't want to have it all depend on that. So, but the members of the committee may feel differently. I'm just expressing my own view.
Councilor Danver?
My thought, I would really like to try and sandwich this in as quickly as we can get it in the new year. But I also see that there are so many amendments on this, and we've gotten so much comment from the construction trades and the architects in Newton on the problem areas that we've got in this, that I think that we've got these ideas, not necessarily the wording, but we've got the ideas and the spirit behind what we're trying to do here that we can always go back to. But my thought is that I'm leaning toward repeal because it would give the opportunity to start from scratch and not have an overly amended form of language.
Well, you might as well just see what the committee...
Okay, do you want to make a motion?
I will move for repeal.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. I think we need a public hearing before we vote.
No.
On this?
Yes. So that's why the planning board is here, fortunately.
Yes.
May I just for record, maybe a misunderstanding about where the planning board is. I wouldn't say we're yet ready to move in any direction. So we're not, you know, leaning forward necessarily towards the extension, but just happy to explore right now.
Let's open the public hearing. Is there anybody here to speak on this item? Mr. French.
Mr. French, 47 Venn Avenue. We've been waiting for this for a very long time. Zoning redesign has been going on for a very long time. We've had 2 or 3 years. We've had ample time to consider this, and it hasn't happened. And I don't think it's going to happen again. So I would be with Councillor Baker and Cadis, and you should defer it.
And could you give us a number on Glenn, just because?
47.
47. Thank you. Is there anybody else? So I think we can have a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
All in favor? That's all of us. And I assume that the planning board is all in favor.
Yes.
Okay. So now you can make your motion.
Again, I want to reiterate that I want to take this up as quickly as we can reasonably take it up. I just think that we need the opportunity to start from scratch on the language, even though we have the spirit of the ideas that we want to put into here. And no one is more anxious than me to get something done about the ability to build these houses with these garages that look like this. But I'm just trying to give the planning department a little bit more leeway in crafting the language. So I will vote, therefore, for repeal.
Councilor Downs?
I guess I need a little more information to make a decision on this. And if I can direct a question to the planning department, what are some of the concerns that have come up around this ordinance that we're hearing?
I wrote
from
some of them from my email. The way it was, these are some of the things that people were saying. The garage can't even be 1 inch in front of the house. So we have lots of houses where they're lovely houses and the garage is slightly in front of the house, but according to this ordinance, you can't. There was a proposal that if there's a up to an 8-foot porch, that the garage could be level with the porch. That was one of the things that was talked about, but as it stands now, this requires that the garage be flush with the house and not in front of it at all.
Mm.
And for one thing, there's lots of houses on Commonwealth Avenue where the house makes like a courtyard with the garage. They're lovely houses. They come up, they have a circular drive, the garage is here, the house is here. That wouldn't be allowed either anymore. So no side-facing garages, that was that one. Garage maybe as far... Oh, that was the porch one. Concern about, this is was an unusual ordinance in that it talks about exemptions. Usually we talk about special permits and waivers, but this talked about an exemption and it gave the ISD commissioner the ability to make decisions and some for irregular shapes, for topography of the lot, for various reasons, and people were saying, this is the first time that we've ever given an ISD commissioner the ability to do this kind of work. And that was that if the ISD commissioner gets involved, that it ends up having to go for an appeal to the Zoning Board of Appeals. And so that was an odd thing for this particular. I didn't write down, but I mean, I wrote down that bunch, but there were a number of issues with this ordinance.
So, and Councillors Kalis and Baker, your thought in just deferring it is that then it sort of keeps the threat out there that this will go into effect with all of the problems involved with it, and so we have to deal with it sooner?
Well, that's my hope. I mean, this is part of the genesis of the ordinance is we've heard has been the garage takes over the front of the building, and the ordinance made an attempt to try and say it has to be proportional. Now, the issues that you've heard about are certainly legitimate, but the question is there anything that will prevent that? Right now, there is nothing but for this ordinance. So at least by keeping it alive, we have the sense that there could be replaced with something that might redress the concerns that are legitimate that we've heard about, but at least get it fixed and then replace it when we get the whole zoning redesign. But that would be my preference. So I'm not going to support the repeal, but that's just my own view.
Councilor Kalish.
And I never thought of it as a threat in any way. I just want it as a marker so we address it. That's the thing. I totally recognize the issues that it brings up, and I think we should continue working on it, but sooner than later, because I just keep seeing more and more of these garage-focused houses.
Yeah.
And I don't want to keep pushing it off.
And your sense it would take us 6 months?
Yes.
I think 6 months is probably enough time.
I'd be good with that.
So I think that, I don't know, maybe I wasn't on the committee when this began, so I don't know who you consulted, but I think bringing architects into the picture would help a lot, and I think that might have been what was missing.
That was a big part of what was missing, and I fully think we should, and I think the 6 months is probably appropriate to get all of the information we need, make the changes, and have it done right.
I guess my preference would be 5 months, because 6 months puts us in July. I'm not expecting.
If they can do it.
I don't know, this committee met all the whole 2 years.
We
met every month,
yeah.
Every week.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking not about us so much as the staff.
They work all summer.
I think the six is fine.
They don't take vacation.
Yes. When I add six in November, I get May.
I think
we're talking
about starting at the first of the year.
Yeah, start at the first of the year.
So, Councilor Danberg, do you want to stick with your motion or what?
Well, can we straw vote and see where it's going?
Okay, so.
I think we all want the same thing. Is there anybody?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
Is there any? I think we all want the same thing. The question is, how do we get
the
there?
Method,
how do
the
we
method
best get there?
Yeah.
And I'm entirely in sympathy with what Lyle is saying.
I would move defer for 6 months.
Well, we have are you dropping your motion?
Is that the pleasure of the committee?
May I?
All right.
I haven't said anything. I just want, because I've been listening, and I was very upset by what happened with this ordinance, because actually part of it started in Ward 3 with some crazy houses, and then my former colleague decided to go to La La Land with it, and then it became this crazy thing. So it's been frustrating in Ward 3 in particular, and now it turns out some
places everywhere.
Yeah. So now I think that I would have to go with deferment instead of repeal.
Okay,
personally.
I don't want to go down in flames on this, so I will repeal my motion.
With
repeal.
Okay, so the motion is you want to defer it.
Yeah, I'll vote to
for 6 months.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
6 months from January, so we're talking about July.
Yeah.
At the latest.
At the latest. Yeah,
good.
if we can take
just
it up
to
earlier.
Get it before
at the latest,
we can.
That's
yeah,
good.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. All right, we're in agreement?
All in favor?
So that's it, all of us. One, two, three, four, five.
It's fine.
Dave.
It doesn't matter.
What do you call it? You repealed
your motion? I repealed my motion.
She
rescinded.
Rescinded, whatever it's called.
All right.
Deferred.
Well, we made some progress anyway.
She deferred. We'll repeal
and
it later.
What have you decided what to do?
We deferred, but it's defer 4-0.
Okay.
Ooh.
You're four up to 6 months over. Yes, months ago.
Okay. So the next item. 363-19, Director of Planning, Co-Director of Sustainability, requesting discussion and adoption of the amendments to Chapter 30, the Newton Zoning Ordinance, to create exemptions to the building envelope standards of the type and setback to facilitate the implementation of energy efficiency and alternative energy measures in buildings, including external insulation, doorway, vestibule, heat pumps, and solar panels, among other features. And as I recall, we closed the public hearing on this one. But we had one item that was outstanding and it had to do with solar panels.
Okay.
Correct. Yes?
That's correct.
That's correct.
On 363-19.
Yes.
Just procedurally, before we start, is the other one now to be heard? Do we have to hear?
Yes, we have to hear that one. So should we dispose of this one first, or do you want to take them up together?
Why don't we take them up together and see if there's a, you know, the public hearings one's closed. You do whatever you want. I just want to understand where we are, because the second one, we could vote for that fairly easily, I think. But you know, you need to hear from people on that. I have some questions on the other one, the first one.
Okay, so then we'll... didn't we close the public hearing on the first one?
We did.
Close the public hearing on the building efficiencies.
So I'll, since your PowerPoint really has to do with both of these items,
yeah.
So I will read the second one into the record, and then you can make your presentation. We can have the public hearing. Okay, Director of Planning and Co-Director of Sustainability, requesting discussion and adoption of amendments to Chapter 30 of the Newton Zoning Ordinance to create a new set of standards related to sustainable development design with requirements for new buildings and development projects to include environmental and energy efficiency features. Yes, you're on.
All right. So she said there's two ordinances here. The one is meant to reduce barriers to environmental improvements, and the other one creates new sustainable design requirements. So after the last meeting, there seemed to be general agreement on the barriers to environmental improvements, except for the height of solar panels above a pitched roof. So the way it was written previously is solar panels that were 4 feet in height above either a pitched roof or a flat roof were exempt from the height calculation. We went back and took another look at this to see if that 4 feet was really necessary for a pitched roof. We don't believe it is. Mm. We think it is for a flat roof. For a pitched roof, we think you need some allotment of exemption, just if you have a pitched roof that isn't quite the right angle for the panels and they have to be tilted a bit. They may go slightly above that ridge line at that peak, but we don't think it should go much above that. So we've revised this to allow 1 foot on a pitched roof. We also had discussions with Green Newton and with a developer regarding this, and it seems that 4 feet on a flat roof may not always be sufficient. There are some times where you may want the panels to be above mechanical equipment in order to have enough space on the roof, et cetera. So we allowed for a waiver by special permit to these height exemptions for either the pitch roof or the flat roof. That seemed like the best option rather than trying to figure out exactly what that height is. That seems acceptable, but would allow the solar panels to happen. So we kept it at 4 feet on flat roof, above the parapet, 1 foot on pitched roof, except by special permit. That was the only change we made to the building efficiencies ordinance. Do you want me to go into the next one? Okay. So for the sustainable building and site design requirements, this one is also largely the same. There's really three sections to this, creating the standard for the green buildings and the threshold from when this kicks in, the review process, and then the compliance. So on this, again, we had a lot of great insight from Green Newton and also from a developer who spent a lot of time with some of these programs, and we made a few changes. So the updates are for requiring whether they be certifiable or actually certified for the three systems, which was just around your LEED, Passive House, and Green Enterprise, or Enterprise Green Communities. We changed this to be certifiable for LEED and for the Enterprise Green Communities, but certified for Passive House. There seems to be broad agreement that with Passive House, you've either done it or you haven't, and there isn't really a difference between being certified and not. So we kept that as certified, left the other two as certifiable just to allow, there's a larger administrative cost, it seems, for those to actually get the certification that we don't want to put an additional burden on as long as they're meeting all of the requirements. We added reserve sections at the suggestion of Green Newton for embodied carbon and electrification, which are things that we can come back to in the future. We also made some slight changes to the review procedures. These are more technical issues where we are requiring final documentation prior to any certificate of occupancy. Our understanding is that would be really difficult to do with the commissioning and all of that prior to any occupancy. So we allow for a temporary certificate of occupancy as long as the final certificate of occupancy isn't issued until we have all of the documentation ensuring compliance. We didn't want to put anything out past the certificate of occupancy. That just becomes difficult to track. And then the commissioning. So what we heard was the commissioning requirement was actually unnecessary because it's in all of the green building rating programs and could be contradictory towards the requirements of that program. So we removed that commissioning section, but still require that the commissioning happen, and they sign an affidavit and they have a commissioning agent, but they do it per the green building rating program rather than the list that we had previously had in there. I think that's all the changes we have made.
May I? And I'm sorry, just the reserved sections, does that mean you're just, that's not going to be in the ordinance now?
It wasn't ever in the ordinance. So these weren't things that were addressed in this ordinance. If you notice, there was a reserved section for solar panels, which we didn't have any regulations for. The idea is we'll come back to that at a future date. There is a request that we also put a reserve section.
So that just means, I'm sorry.
Placeholders.
Placeholder, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Questions and comments? Councillor Downs and Councillor Downs.
So I'm wondering if you've done any work on determining how much this adds to the cost of doing business in Newton and what kind of barrier that might be toward getting things built?
We have not. Part of the reason we've kept the thresholds where they are is because we're seeing a lot of this is happening at those thresholds anyway. Mm-hmm. So at 20,000 square feet, you need a special permit. And the criteria, so there's that fifth criterion for a special permit that talks about conservation of natural resources and energy. Mm-hmm. That kicks in at 20,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. So at a project that size, we're already talking about sustainability and having fairly in-depth discussions regarding sustainability during the special permit process. So we believe those projects are already doing these things.
Okay.
We did keep it at LEED Silver for a 20,000 square foot project for that reason, because we don't know what the additional cost if we push it to gold is, and we don't want to completely disincentivize that mid-range size project. Mm-hmm. At 50,000 square feet, we require LEED Gold if you choose to go down the LEED route. And that's another reason that we kept certifiable for two of them, because we do hear that there is a fairly significant administrative cost that comes along with actually getting the certification. And we want to be careful not to completely disincentivize the development.
Thank you.
Councilor Goldberg.
Could we go back one slide? Another slide. Okay, nope. That.
That's all I got.
We were talking about, I'm just going to bring this up.
Oh, I think I have those.
On the solar panel.
Oh, you want to go back to the solar panel? Sorry. Here.
Okay, yes. I think that 1 foot is going to be way more logical and reasonable than 4 feet. I just have something. I drove by a house the other day that was an east-west facing house. So it had a roof like this to face east-west. And these people wanted to put solar panels on the roof. So what they did was they put three solar panels on the one side of the roof, and they put them 45 degrees off of the at a 90 degree angle
so
off of the
out.
Roof of the house, and it looked pretty awful from the rest of the neighborhood. What do we do? Do we have any rules about that, or is that allowed? You don't see it much.
Yeah, I haven't ever seen that.
This was a Newton.
This particularly likely wouldn't address it unless those top panels went enough above the ridge line.
Yeah, they didn't go above the ridge line.
Yeah.
Look like wings on one side of
the
house.
I mean, you're still, I think, going to have structural requirements and
a good hurricane would probably
wind
take
loads
them, yeah.
You need to account for, but
yeah.
I don't think we have anything specific that.
Okay, I don't want to get too much into the weeds here, but I just thought I'd throw that on the table.
I've never seen that before.
Okay.
Councilor Baker, do you want to put
us an
your
address?
Yeah, well, as long as you want to just see if there's anybody testifying on the second item, and
well,
then.
Why don't you put your comment on
okay.
the table, and then
all right.
we'll do the public hearing.
My question is really about the first items, because I recalled, although when we went back and looked at the language, it didn't seem to say this, that part of the rationale was to make this available for older properties so that they could be retrofitted. And then there was a conversation, well, should we give the same thing to new properties? And part of, as I thought about it, I'm a little uneasy about the second stage. The first stage I understand, but we've got, we're talking about teardowns, and we're talking about people building out now already to the sort of the line limit and the FAR, the maximum, and giving more structure to those situations seems to me ill-advised, where somebody's got, most of the older houses are inside the setbacks and don't build all the way out, or they're non-conforming in some way, but it's, I'm just concerned that if we can, we ought to make a distinction between new construction and renovation or old construction. Because what we're really trying to do is help the retrofit of the environmental efficiency of older places, but new buildings can be built to a standard right up front. So I'm a little uneasy about the FAR extension, for example, or the extra dimensions. Now, Councillor Crosley is here, and I'm glad she's here, because she can help illuminate this question better than I can. But that's a distinction that I would like to be able to make. And, you know, even in the process of building a new house, you can don't need the side yard so often. You can do it in the rear yard for even the structure. So I just want to be cautious not to do something in the process of trying to help the renovation, which creates another problem that we don't want to have in new construction. So, but I'm delighted to be educated by my colleague if she has any views on this. Okay.
Well, we have a lot of really small lots in Newton that are quite restrictive. So the idea of the allowance into the setbacks, especially for something as relatively de minimis as an insulation wrap, provides an incentive for folks who are otherwise, you know, quite constrained.
That part I don't mind, because that's a retrofit, as I understand it. But if you're wrapping, why would you wrap a new building?
You would, actually, because there's a concept called continuous insulation, where others could speak to this more technically, eloquently than perhaps I can, but the basic idea is that you have that it is continuous, and so you don't put it inside the wall and between the structural members, you wrap the entire building. So actually, it's normal, it's nowhere in the code exactly where we're measuring to from the side yard setback. We might be measuring to the foundation or the structural sheathing, and then wrapping the building with a couple inches or 3 inches or 4 inches of insulation. I don't know about the 8 inches, but I can't really get there in the work that I do. But I don't mind that, because I think it does provide an incentive. We have a lot of 4,000 to 5,000 square foot lots in the city that are somewhat narrow. That doesn't bother me. I do think, though, that if we're talking about vestibules in the side yard, we want to perhaps have a minimum. I missed it if it's in here. Like you can't go right up to the lot line. I don't think you want to do that. And in the front yard, you still have to maintain the average setback. So I do think it would be. We're not allowing vestibules in the front yard setback to go beyond the average that's allowed for your front yard setback. But side vestibules, I think they should be allowed in the setback.
Well, I guess part of my concern is that, you know, I just don't want us to be in a situation where at some point somebody comes in and says, gee whiz, we have so limited space between us and the neighbors now. This is not as much a problem in my neighborhood, to be honest about it. We're SR1. But if you're talking about the kind of situations that you mentioned in smaller lots in the city or places where people are close to each other, I just worry that we're creating a potential conflict in the best of intentions that we could avoid if we had some design thought And I guess the question is, do we have to vote this tonight? I mean, this is the first, we just heard it last time. This is, you know, if there were something that were going to be part of zoning redesign, this might, I feel, be more appropriate for that because it is part of a question of how you do the whole envelope. But that's a, you know, that's why I'm uneasy about voting this tonight. I'm happy to vote the second items because they relate to the LEED certification and new construction and we want to get that online. But the stuff that has all of these potential impacts on retrofits, I'd really like to really understand how we manage that a little better than we do. Now, maybe I'm alone in that anxiety, but I'm just a veteran of too many conversations with people saying, how did this happen? You know? And then I don't want to be in that.
May I respond?
Sure.
Yeah, and then Barbara.
Okay. So would you feel more comfortable if there was a minimum setback requirement? Like, you can't go beyond, you can't go into the setback. Let's say your setback is 7.5 feet or 10 feet, you still can't get closer than 5 feet.
Yeah, something. I mean, we have that even with ancillary structures. I think you can't put an ancillary structure like a shed for a, you know, cans or whatever, you know, for people, you know, any closer than 5 feet. I just, I guess part of my concern is whether we need to do, and it's a little hard to do this on the fly, but if we had a chance to, now, the docket items die at the end of the term, but if there's some way that we can, I think legally the public hearing has been held, and it's just a question of whether we can deal with this without necessarily having decided tonight, but I'd be interested in the planning board's point of view too as well. But I appreciate it. But that, it works towards the concern I have, again.
Councilor Purcell-Glaser.
Thank you, that's exactly, I actually, and I'm a dimwit, but when we talked about vestibules, I didn't think of them on the side. I was only thinking from one time, Commissioner Lojack was in here talking about, like, you walk in your front door and, you know, explaining to us why. And it really didn't occur to me. I live in a neighborhood with 7.5 foot side setbacks. And if something is going out 4 feet into, you know, that really is very, very close to your neighbor. So I just want to say that thank you for bringing this up tonight because I hadn't thought about those. I had only thought about the front. So that's just something that I think we do need to think about. I'd be happy with, I think, what Deb's suggesting. Like, I'm sorry, Councillor Crossley is suggesting, but but I'm glad that this has been brought up.
Councillor Leary.
Thank you. I think this is what Councillor Baker is bringing up is an important point. And I in Ward 1, where we do like to be close, but not too close.
That's the question.
There was something that did come up recently with a new build, not a new build, but a redevelopment of a house, and the contractor actually had to go on the other person's, like, driveway to do the work, and they really impacted them during the construction. So to have some sort of maximum that they can have sounds reasonable to me, so that you're not, you're still able to accommodate, you know, you're still able to accommodate these new energy efficiency structures without really getting into someone's, impacting someone else's quality of life. So I would totally be open to that.
Okay, anybody else? You can open the public hearing on the second one.
Shall I move to open the public hearing?
Pardon?
Move to open the public hearing.
So is there anybody here that would like to speak to I guess it's 364?
Got either of them.
Mr. Bear. Yes, please.
So my name is Peter Barrer. I'm at 60 Endicott Street. And I'm here representing Green Newton's Building Standards Committee. And wow. This is a great initiative. It's a big step we can take, and thank you to the planning department and city councilors for pulling this together. We celebrate this initiative, and we appreciate your taking the effort to involve the voice of developers, as well as our Green Newton constituency. This proposal creates three specific metrics, which the developer can choose. Any of these metrics will require an affidavit by a green building professional that the project is being designed to achieve the requirements of the given metric. This creates specificity and accountability to goals that previously weren't clearly defined. This is a phenomenal progress for us. We see that the language is a first step that will need to be tested and revised over time, and there are several steps that need to follow in the coming year, and we plan to take some initiative with that, which I want to talk about. First, our organization is committed to providing education to counselors, petitioners, and the community. Most of you have heard of LEAD, one of the possible metrics, and some of you are learning now about Passive House, which is the highest standard metric for energy efficiency that's currently available. And briefly, this metric focuses on three things: creating a very tight building envelope with minor air leakage, reductions in energy demand, and improved indoor air quality through ventilation requirements, which gives you better health outcomes for the building. Because of our commitment to education to the community, our committee worked extensively with both Riverside and Northland developers, who several years ago were unaware of Passive House, and now both of them are incorporating those concepts in their proposals. So we've had an effect, and we're looking to see that effect multiply. And we're committed to continue our educational outreach on Passive House. But our goal is that Passive House will soon become a recognized standard household word for good quality construction. We're also committed to working with the planning department to determine through experience whether we've gotten it right in asking for LEED Silver between 20 and 50,000 square feet instead of the higher standard of LEED Gold. And we'll learn from experience whether 20,000 square feet and Gold is the proper standard or not. But we support this initiative now. And then there's this language also has excellent an introductory section called intent and purpose. And several of its issues need to be developed in the future. So even this language includes the three placeholders that were discussed. One is electrification of cooking, heating, and domestic hot water. Electricity can be made carbon-free, but fossil fuel cannot. And the question is, what can our city require in this area? Second is to minimize the embodied carbon of materials used in construction and how to define an objective that can hold developers to a standard. And the third is, what's the appropriate requirement for solar panels? So these things need to be worked on and developed in the future. This is an important step to address an urgent problem. The climate crisis is causing disastrous flooding and weather events around the world, including now in our country. And with this language, the city is requiring the use of some established tools to achieve new objectives. And we will all learn a lot in the near future from this step, and there will be many more steps to take on the climate crisis road that we find ourselves on. So thank you for moving us all forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who likes to speak? Did I see a hand go up?
That's a risky business here.
Yes, yeah. Be careful. Right. Okay, then do we have a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Okay, all in favor? That's all of us. Now, I think we're all here.
So can we move the second item? Because I think there's agreement about that. At least dispose of that. And then I've got a suggestion about
okay.
the next one.
So are you making a motion?
Yeah.
So all in favor, Councilor Baker is moving approval on 364-19.
This is sustainability.
Yes.
New construction.
All in favor? But that is unanimous.
So I'm sensitive to the other amendments and the value of having them. I've been nervous about the noise of the heat pumps, but people have told me they're not going to be a problem, and credible people have told me that, so I'm willing to believe them. But I do think that the idea of having things built into the setback where it's in tight quarters is not a good idea. So I think there might be value in following Councillor Crosley's suggestion of saying that any of these things can't be closer than 5 feet to the lot line, because that would give you some sense of protection for everybody and all of these things. In those close quarters. As I say, the area I live in is large lots, so it's not going to be as much an issue, but I am sensitive to the concerns that my colleagues, have expressed about even the best of intentions can cause an impact. And if you've got at least 5 feet, and maybe a different number is better, I'm not wedded to that, but I'm trying to get a sense of some parameter that's fair that gives people a sense of breathing room. I would prefer that. Mm-hmm. And then you could maybe alter that by special permit, you know, so that if there's a special situation, you could do that. But I'm a little nervous about just building vestibules in the side yard all the time, and new construction especially, because people might say, well, this building really doesn't work for me before, but boy, now I can get my, you know, and you've just changed the streetscape. And maybe they put their garage on front now. You know, that'd be an even worse.
You missed that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too bad. I'm sorry to miss that.
Yeah. So, I would welcome some guidance from the planning department on this.
I think we could do a couple things. We could keep a minimum setback. We could use potentially 5 feet, which is what we use for accessory structures, as a guide. We could limit the vestibules to the front setback rather than the side setback if there isn't comfort in having those in the side setback in general. I don't know how much of a demand there is in the side setback, but I think we could do either of those things to control that they're not going right up against the property.
How about both? You know, just say generally you can't go closer than 5 feet for any of these things. Plus, you can have a side vestibule, but by special permit. I wouldn't say you couldn't do it.
Front vestibules are usually a little wider than the side ones, aren't they?
I'm not an expert on that.
So Councillor Crossley. 4x6 is about as small as they go.
Councillor Crossley, and then I'll go around the table.
So a couple things. I think you're talking about this whole list of things, and I would parse the list. I can understand why you would want to have a minimum setback in a side yard or a vestibule, and that there might be some controls on a front vestibule, but I think a front vestibule, very few people are going to build them as small as 4x6. I think that's pretty small. And it's not really workable for a front vestibule for most houses. But for a compressor, I would not have that exclusion. And I think we talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago. Having just put some of these at our house, so we have not even a 4,000 square foot lot built turn of the century. We have 3 feet on one side. We couldn't put that compressor on that side of the house, we wouldn't be able to have that electrical energy source. Because today we can't put it on the ground, which would have been our preference, and then it would have been out of sight, we had to mount it on the wall, which is visible now to our new neighbor, which we don't have yet. They just built a new house right up to the setback. So we're feeling very close right now to the construction workers anyway. So I think if folks think we need to spend some more time with this to understand better what some of the configurations might be, I get that. But to me there's a real this is part of our ability to move forward with electrification. And if we don't allow, or if we're too restrictive, and mm-hmm. where we allow people to put the equipment that's necessary to electrify the building. This is mechanical equipment. The only reason I believe compressors like generators are not allowed in the setback is a concern about noise, not about visual impact. Front setback, that's visual impact. But side and rear, I would think we should be more lenient. Maybe we need to see some examples.
Well, I guess the question is this urgent we act on tonight? I know it's the end of the term, but can we hold this and deal with this?
So we do have the possibility of one last meeting, but I don't know if the council, is the council planning to meet on the 16th?
Yes.
Yep.
So we are. So we could take this up on the 9th. And I was wondering if, this may be too late, but could the Urban Design Commission have a look at this?
I don't know if they could formally, but we could send something to them and ask if anyone has any feedback. They send it to us, but I don't know if they have a meeting in time, because if this comes back on the 9th, our report goes out next Friday, and with the holiday this week, there's not a lot of time.
Well, I, if they can comment, that's great. I guess I would like to have a little more time to think about this, and if we could do with it on the 9th, I don't want to necessarily hold it. You're pointing out
let's,
we do have one more meeting.
Yeah, let's
so
see. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it'd be helpful for us to get a clear understanding of where the issues are, because we're kind of bouncing around a bunch of different
well,
issues.
Well, let me tick off the ones that at least I'm carrying and see
sure.
if other members of the committee. I am concerned about side vestibules as a general matter because of the potential impact of just all the change in the traffic pattern that goes in and out of houses. Now, there may be situations where it's warranted, and maybe that's a special permit or something like that where we need to find a vehicle to do that, where you can build it into the setback for the reasons that Councillor Crosley has indicated. But I can understand the kind of collateral impact is much greater in that because of the traffic that can come in and out of it. I'm less concerned about overhangs. I'm more concerned about the compressor and the, you know, notwithstanding your situation, just how these things look. I know in the historic districts we're careful about those.
Much more
on the
wall.
Yeah. I know. But for instance, in my house, and I have a generator, and I had to go behind my house so that it wouldn't be visible from the street. I mean, this is just an historic district. That may be unusual, but that's just my experience. But I think part of the rationale for that was, again, how it all comes together. And we want people to be able to do these, but I'd like to make them as minimal an impact on the abutters as we can, as well as the noise. And so I think a 5-foot setback limit is an idea here. I'm less concerned about the overhang. There's another dimension. I would like to think if there's any distinction between new construction and the wraparound and the retrofit, you know, maybe that's a distinction that's too hard to make, but this is your area. I don't, you know. Yeah, I guess I'm a little uneasy about creating bigger building envelopes for new construction than we already have.
I will say it's difficult to have a distinction because at what point does it become existing?
Yeah.
Can you build a house and then come back the next day and do this?
Yeah.
Just from a practical point
no,
of view.
No, it's a legitimate. It's
services.
A legitimate, and if we can have a generic, I guess the question is, do you need 8 inches? For, I mean, I'd like to have a little more clarity about what's necessary. Because again, I'm a little nervous about, again, the smaller lots, notwithstanding, are already being built, as you just said. Your neighbor's just building right up to the setback. If we gave them this additional, would they be even closer to you? And you'd be more friends with them than you even are now.
But you'd hear them less because they'd be insulated.
Their window would be in the same place.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But I guess those are the kind of issues I'm concerned. I'm concerned about collateral impact on neighbors. I don't know how my colleagues feel.
About the exterior insulation, I was confused because on the slide it says exemptions only apply for existing buildings.
That wasn't the way it was written.
So
all of these are the rules of measurement, so they apply to all homes. I think that must have been a mistake on the slide.
Okay.
And like I said, I think I would caution against making a distinction between existing and new. That becomes very difficult to do.
So you should note that for the record that that slide is not right.
And we're making a big mistake. We don't refer to that as insulation.
I knew there was a reason you were on this committee.
Councillor Russo Glazer, you had a comment.
I was just going to put in my 2 cents as Barney asked. That I support the 5-foot idea or some measurement like that. I'm two other things. I'm not so sure about the no side vestibules except the special permit, because I think often people, if they don't have a garage that leads right into their house, that's how they get in, is they get out of their driveway and then walk in. So that side entrance is often their entrance. So I wouldn't say that that's as troublesome if we have that 5 feet. And then I just, about in a, the and again, I think that can be a small little space, like 4x6. I'm not so sure, Councillor Crosley has brought this up before. We still have only 24 square feet for that front vestibule as well. Oh, by right, but then special permit, you could get it bigger.
I don't think we've written in a special permit for it. I mean, you could always ask for more FAR for a special permit. Right now, you can't ask to waive a setback by special permit. We have to add that in here.
So should we add a special permit?
I don't know how other people, I haven't actually measured it out to know, but
it's pretty small.
It seems kind of small.
Well, it would be pretty ironic if somebody said, I'm having a vestibule that's big enough to put my car in. So it becomes a snout vestibule.
I think Jen had
something. It seems to me that these elements have very different effects depending on what setback you're talking about. And I wonder if it's just worth identifying in the language rather than project into the setback, into the side setback, into the, they're very different depending on where you're going. So rather than a blanket, no closer than 5 feet, you can allow for more vestibule in the front, but not on the side.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
That way, and just discern which setback you're talking about.
That sounds good.
Yep.
Councilor Downs?
I had a similar comment to Councilor Broussard Glazer. We have a front door, which we almost never use because we're from New England. We always use the back door. And that's the side door in our house because it's the one that's furthest from the street, but it's also most comfortable to come in and out of. And you want to have your vestibule on the door you use most often because that's where the airlock has the most effect.
Hmm.
You want it, yes, that you don't want it to be in the, almost from the neighbor's lot, but you do want to have side vestibules for that very kind of occasion.
Did someone else have a
I'll just say that I'm perfectly okay with the 1 foot on the above the ridge pole. And what's the difference between roof line and ridge pole?
And sorry, what was that?
The ridge
roof
line.
Roof line and ridge pole line. Is there a difference, or are we talking about the same thing?
Where are you?
On solar panels.
Okay.
Ridge line.
Yeah, ridge line is the peak of the roof.
Right.
So that point where it comes together.
Yep. And roof line is?
I don't think we say roof line, do we?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
4 feet above the roof line.
It would mean the ridge line?
You mean the ridge line?
I think we
meant. And C, on height defined.
So that's existing language, but I think it would be the same thing.
Okay.
The peak of the roof.
Fine, as long as you're aware that those things need to mean the same thing. I'm perfectly okay with overhang. I don't up to 3 feet, no problem with that. I'm perfectly okay with anything above a window that shades the window, whether it's canvas or built on. I think that is.
Solar panel.
Fine. So solar shades.
as long as it doesn't stick out.
Yeah.
3 feet.
I am perfectly okay with the exterior insulation, and I'm okay with the heat pump compressors because they. I can understand what Councilor Baker's issue is with. What was it that you said you had? You have a generator. Generators are noisy. They belch all kinds of stuff out, and you wouldn't want to have those in under your neighbor's noses. But these heat pump compressors are pretty clean and they're pretty quiet. So I have less of a problem with them than I would with an old style compressor.
Being able to put them on the ground means they can be screened.
Yeah, and that's right. If you put them on the ground, you can screen them.
But if you have a 5 foot setback, you've got something to screen them with.
Well, I'm not saying that they could go all the way out to the. I think, I'd be okay with 4 feet on compressors if we want
to
change things. But 5 feet sounds good.
It might have to be less.
So can I, as Chairman, the planning, I think you're hearing some concern about sensitivity for impacts on neighbors, either visual or auditory or just the intrusion of, the idea behind setbacks is designed for that reason. You keep people It's not just a fire issue. It's some of that privacy concern. So I don't know if you've got enough to noodle with and come back to us.
Okay. So that seals the deal that we will have a meeting on December 9th.
We got to have some time for cake or something.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, Vicki hasn't warmed up her Costco account again.
Okay, Planning Board, do you have any comments as well?
Further comments? I guess not at this time. We did close our public hearing and voted on the 363-19-600. We haven't taken it. And we did vote on the planning department's recommendation on 364-19. How are you planning to handle these amendments?
I think we'll hold and have
a hold period.
We'll hold on 363-19 and hope that we can have something that suits everybody's needs at the next meeting.
364
or
364? 364
we passed.
Right.
Yes, okay. So you're still
364. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we need a motion to hold. So hold. All in favor. And that is all of us.
Move to adjourn.
What?
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Yes, let's adjourn.
Woohoo! Okay.